Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top of Daf Tes at the Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, you notice we have a topic heading, Ha'imer Kenidre Rishoyim, someone who makes a pronouncement like that, Mishayev Beneder Nozir Ubekorban. He becomes bound to observe a vow, to observe Nazirus, and to bring a korban. The Mishnah. Kenidre Rishoyim. If a person says that, we'll see Rashi shortly as to what exactly took place, but that binds him to a neder or nodar benozir ubekorban ubishvua. Kenidre Ksherim, if he says that expression, lo amar klum. The concept of neder is anathema to people that are kosher. So, therefore, the Mishnah says if someone said Kenidre Ksherim, he has said nothing. Kenidvoisom, if, however, he uses the expression nidova as opposed to neder, like the nidovos of Ksherim, nodar, benozir, bekorban, then he is bound. Now, we take a look at Rashi at the top. Kenidre Rishoyim. Kegon Shoyakiko Munach Lefonov. Imagine a person with a loaf of bread in front of him. Vyomar, and he said, Kenidre Rishoyim. And he used that expression. Mashma, that implies the Oisa Kiko Yehelov, Kenidre Rishoyim. That the bread is to this individual like the vows of the wicked. The Kavon the Omar Hochi, and since he said that, Nodar Benozir Ubekorban Ubeshvua, he binds himself to a neder, to Nazirus, to a korban and shvua, Vim Ochlo Mishayev Mechayev Nazirus. If he eats that loaf, he then is obligated to observe Nazirus. The korban Ushvua, he'll be obligated to bring a sacrifice for having violated the neder, for having violated the vow not to eat the bread, ushvua, and also in violation of a shvua, the chayav nami korban shvua, he'll be chayav for violating a shvua, an oath. The darkon shel rishoyim hu, it's the way of the wicked, shenoydrim benazirus ubekorban ubenishboyin. It's the way of the wicked to accept upon themselves vows of the different kinds of vows. V'hai ki omar kenidre rishoyim, and this fellow, when he says that, have kemandu omar, it's as if he is saying the following: Hareini nozir im ochal hemenu, I accept upon myself nazirus if I eat from the bread. Varei olai kekorban, and that the bread is upon me like a sacrifice. That would be a pretty standard form vow where you attach or you associate a particular allowed item with a sacrifice, just like a sacrifice is something that is that you imposed upon it prohibition. So too the bread is now with an imposed prohibition, and eating it would result in a violation of the neder. And ushvua she'eni ochel. And likewise, by saying kenidre rishoyim, it's tantamount to his saying that he's taking an oath not to eat it. We continue now in the Gemara after having explained that ksherim. We explain that people that are kosher, people that are righteous, they don't take vows. The concept of Nidorim is anathema to the ksherim, to the proper individuals. the Gemara, Vidilma Hochi Komar, by the fellow saying, Kinidre Rishoyim, maybe his intent is to say, Kinidre Rishoyim Lona Darna, I am not accepting upon myself the vows of the wicked. Now, let's take a look at Rashi to appreciate the question a little more. Vidilma Hochi Komar, Kinidre Rishoyim Lona Darna, Kevon Diihu Loma Forish Midi, since the speaker isn't explaining anything, Delo Omar Hare Hu Alai Kinidre Rishoyim, he's not saying that the loaf is upon me like the vows of the wicked. Elo Vistam Komar. He's simply saying Kinidre Rishoyim. Dilma Hochi Komar, maybe his intent is to say Kinidre Rishoyim Lo Nadarna, Velo Klum Hu, and he wouldn't be bound to anything. The Gemara answers, Omar Shmuel Bi'oimer, what is really taking place is he's saying Kinidre Rishoyim Hareini Olai Veheimenu, and the Gemara explains this. Hareini, that Benezirus, Olai Bekorban, and Heimenu Beshvua. So those added expressions, Hareini Olai Veheimenu, imply that he's accepting upon himself if he eats the bread the Nazirus restriction, and the bread is upon him like a sacrifice, meaning it is a neder, then not to eat the bread, and he is also vowing not to eat the bread. We take a look at the Rashi. Omar Shmuel bi'oimer kigon shoy kikur lefonav. There was a loaf in front of him, v'omar kinidre rishoyim hareini olai ve'imenu. U'mishtama dehochi komar. The implication is that as follows: Hareini b'nezirus deman denozar hochi komar. Generally speaking, one who accepts upon himself nezirus says Hareini nozir. V'hod amar olai, that word that he added, demashma diomar hare olai korban. V'heimenu mashma diomar shvua shelo ochal heimenu, that he vows not to eat from it. And there you see the word heimenu. The Hoyol the Omar Bitchilo Kinidre Rishoyim, since his opening phrase was Kinidre Rishoyim Mishtama Vadai the Hochi Boy Lameimar, it's then clear that this is what his intent is. The Darkon Shem Rishoyim Hu, this the way of the wicked is the Agav Rishayu, when they become enraged, Nodrin Ben Nozu Ben Korban Ubishua, they start to in common English we say a person starts to swear. So when a person gets angry, people who are not in control of themselves, they start swearing. So in common slang or the common parlance, that implies certain, let's say, foul language. But there's another level of appreciating that concept, and that's what we're seeing over here. That when a person becomes enraged, they start to let's say lose control of themselves and swearing and vowing, etc. The Gemara, as we go on, introduces with our markings, of course, some geometric shapes. We have a diamond, and on the side of the Gemara, we explain under the Mivneh heading. The Mivneh is the structural note. Hadgoshas Kushios. We're emphasizing questions. And you'll see a squiggle underline highlighting the word Dilma, which is Hatzah Chilufis Lahadam Shmuel. Alternative suggestions to what Shmuel had said. So we just finished learning Shmuel's explanation of the Mishnah, and we go on now with a couple of questions. Hareini b'nezirus, that is what Shmuel explained, that Hareini means I will, upon eating the bread, become a nozir. Dilma, a suggested alternative, Hareini b'tainis komar, maybe he's accepting upon himself fasting and not nezirus. Omar Shmuel, so Shmuel explains, how is it that it's so clear that we are talking about Nazirus? Kishahoya Nazir Oiver Lefonov. An additional element that we didn't know before is that when he was speaking, a Nazir was passing in front of him. Heimenu Beshvua. This is what Shmuel had said before, that by saying Heimenu, he's accepting upon himself as a vow not to eat the bread. Dilmo Heimenu means De'achilno komar, Maybe he's swearing that he will eat the bread. Omar Rava, the Omar Heimenu Shelo Ochal. Oh, so there's more to the original expression than we thought. He said Heimenu Shelo Ochal. Well, then Ihochi Mailamemra. If that's the case, so then it's very obvious. Do I need the obvious to be spelled out? Mahu detema. Well, I would have thought Ha Lomapik Shvua Mipume. He didn't use the word Shvua. Komash Malon. So what Shmuel is revealing to us, that if you say Heimenu Shelo Ochal, that in effect is acceptance of a Shvua, of a vow. Not to eat the bread. Now, as far as the negative is concerned, that he spelled out Shelo Ochal, but even without pronouncing the word Shvua, he is bound by a Shvua, and of course everything that comes with it, that one who violates it is obligated to bring a special atonement sacrifices. Kenidre Ksherim Lo Omar Klum Kenidvoisam Nodar Benozir Bekorban. This, of course, you can see as a quote from the Mishnah, that saying, I am accepting upon myself the Nidorim of Ksherim, so that's meaningless. It's a contradiction in concepts. Nidorim and Ksherim are anathema to one another. Man Tono Deshoni Le Bein Neder Linadova. Which Tana, who is the author of our Mishnah, that makes a distinction between the two? Lema lo Rebbe Meir v'lo Rebbe Yehuda. Notice we have a question that takes us down to the bottom line. The suggestion is not Rebbe Meir nor Rebbe Yehuda. So we're going to introduce a Tanaic source in which these two opinions appear, and from this we're going to assume initially that our Mishnah is not like either one, and that of course presents a problem for us. We need to find authorship for our Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, and we also indicate that this is a rather long topic. It goes till Daf Yud Omen Aleph. You'll see at the bottom line a crown shape, and the issue here is Man Tana de Mechalek Bein Nidorim, that only Rak Rishoyim Oimrim, Lenidovas Shigam Tzadikim Oimram. The crown shape will highlight the suggested Tana, who would make this distinction. So that's why you see over here Rebbe Meir featured, and you'll notice, and here's how the Gemara is kind of spread out, at the top of Yud Amen Aleph, you see another crown where Afilu Teimo Rebbe Yehuda. By the way, if you're interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. So now we continue with the Gemara with our question, who makes the distinction between Nidorim, namely that Ksherim do not accept upon themselves, as opposed to Nidovas, they do accept upon themselves. Now, maybe in general, you might ask, well, aren't they the same thing? They're just a function of different kinds of vowels. So, in general, just by way of general background, a neder is a type of vow where a person accepts upon himself. Let's stay within the realm of sacrifices for the time being to illustrate the difference. A person who says, Hare olai lahavi korban. Let's say a korban shlomim. A person accepts upon himself, we'll say a personal obligation to bring a korban. That's a neder. If a person sees an animal that he owns and he says he designates an animal and says hare zu korban shlomim, that is an example of a nedava. That's where the vow is not a personal obligation, but rather it's a designation of a specific item. Now, in the realm of korbanos, there's a major difference between the two. In the case of a person who accepts upon himself a personal obligation, then let us say he had in mind a specific animal, but he didn't articulate the vow in that fashion. If something happens to the animal he had in mind, if it dies, he'll have to replace it with another animal, because he accepted upon himself a personal obligation. However, if he designates a specific animal in a nedava form, then if that animal dies, he doesn't have to make it up. Now the Gemara. The Sanya. We quote a posuk from Kehelis, Perek He, posuk Dalit, and it says, Toiv asher lo tidor, mishetidor velo tishalem. On the side of the Gemara, we should point out, we've included the previous posuk from Kehelis, Perek He, posuk Gimel. Let's read it together. On the side of the Gemara, kasher tidor neder lo likim, al tacher l'shamo, when a person vows, do not delay in paying the vow. Ki ein chefetz b'ksilim es asher tidor shalem, that which a person vowed, so pay up. And then pasuk dalid, which we already read, we'll read it again in the Gemara text. Toiv asher lo tidor, misha tidor velo tishalem. It would be better not to vow than to make a vow and not pay it up. So pasuk gimel featured a person that makes a vow. So if one made a vow, pay it up. Pasuk Dalit says, better not to make vows than to make vows and not pay up. So in Pasuk Gimel you see a person making a vow, and in Pasuk Dalit you see also an example of someone making a vow and not paying it up. The beginning of Pasuk Dalet, however, said, better not to make vows than to make vows and not pay them up. The source goes on, Toiv mizeh mizeh, better than both of these, is She'enu no der kol ikr. They doesn't make vows at all. Divrei Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir's approach is basically avoid the whole area, the whole realm of vowing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Toiv mizeh umizeh, no der umeshalem. Rabbi Yehuda says that the best of all of the possibilities that we've seen in the psukim, just to review, the pasuk described someone who makes a vow, he is exhorted to pay up the vow. The pasuk said not to make vows where you're not going to pay them up. What about vows that you do pay up? Rabbi Yehuda says that the best thing is Tov mizeh umizeh, noder umeshalem, one who makes the vows and pays up. Now, as far as we're concerned, again, this is a very superficial approach. We're just in the question mode, and that is, according to Rabbi Meir, silence is the best way. Now, our Mishnah didn't say that. Our Mishnah said that silence from Nidorim is recommended, but not from Nidovas. And Rabbi Yehuda said that even making Nidorim is a great thing if you pay them up. So our Mishnah indicated that Nidorim is to be avoided at all costs if you consider yourself a proper individual. So it seems that our Mishnah is not like either one. Afilu Temo Rebbe Meir. No, our Mishnah can be like Rebbe Meir. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Ki Koma Rebbe Meir, that which Rebbe Meir said to avoid, the neder. That's when it comes to that form of vowing, a neder. B'nedava lo ko'omar. But phrasing things in a nedava fashion, that he didn't say to avoid. The Gemara asks, Vaha Kotoni, does it not say in our Mishnah, Kinidvoisam Nodar Benazir Ubekarban? Our Mishnah says that if you accept upon yourself a vow in the Nidova form, you are bound by a Neder. So it's Mashma. It's Mashma. It implies that he spoke using a Lashon of Neder. So the Gemara says, Tani, we have to restate the Mishnah, Nodav benazir ubekarban. That if you're talking about Ksherim, they would not utter the, or use a Neder term, Neder terminology whatsoever. we explained before. If just to repeat, a nether is a an expression where you say hare olai versus a nedava where you say hare zu. Hare olai means a personal obligation. Hare zu is a designated and designating an item. The Gemara continues, and on the side we have a topic heading which reads under the Nosei, Hesber Ech Beneder Shayach Takola Mashen Kein Benedova. There is a distinction that we haven't really made yet, other than the phrasing distinction, but the, let's say, the analysis of the distinction we haven't said yet. What is the difference between a neder and a dova? So the Gemara explains, Maishna no dare the law. Why is it that a kosher, a person who's righteous, would avoid a neder? Dilmaasi ba lide takola. He might come to a stumbling block. He might mess up. What's the mess up in the case of a neder? A person accepted upon himself, let us say, to bring a sacrifice, and he's lazy, he delays, he's a procrastinator, and the Baal Ta'achir time period goes by. One of the opinions is three of the Shlosh Regolim go by. He'll then be in violation. He'll be in violation of the pasuk that says Lo Sa'achir L'shama, which we call Baal Ta'achir. So that's a good reason that people who are righteous would not get themselves involved in the first place. They would avoid Nedarim. Well, nedava nami lo, dilma osi ba lide takola. Accepting upon yourself a nedava also could result in a takola. There are different explanations you can see in the Rashi and the Ran what the takola is. Rashi's suggestion is, if you designate an animal as a korban, that means you say hare zu korban shlomim, for example, you cannot use that animal for work purposes. Certainly if you cannot shear the animal anymore. You might come then to forgetting yourself and using it or shearing it. That's a takola, that's a stumbling block, that's a sinful act. The Gemara says, with regard to nedavos, there's a way to avoid it. Kehilel hazokain. Follow the practice of Hillel. Desanya Omru al Hillel Hazokin was said regarding Hillel, Shelo Moral Adam Ba'ilosoi Kol Yomov, that regarding Hillel's Korban Ola, Hillel lived at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the second, toward the latter part of the second temple period, when he designated an animal as a korban olo, you can rest assured no one ever came to be over on milav, to violate the prohibition of using sanctified items for personal benefit. How is that? If he designated an animal, he said hare zu or hare ze le korban olo. How is it that we guarantee you that you would never misuse the animal? Here's the answer. Meviok shishchulin lazora. He would bring the animal to the temple courtyard prior to its actual sanctification, umakdisha, and then when at the threshold of the temple courtyard of the azora, right there he would sanctify it, v'soymech olei, and then place his hands on it, which is part of the procedure of offering a sacrifice. V'shochata, and then slaughter. So there was no interim time. There was no time where it was sanctified prior to its, or there was very little time between its actual sanctification and final slaughtering. There was basically no interim time for which someone could come to misuse the animal. Up till the Beis HaMikdash, it was still a common animal. It was still chulin. There's nothing wrong with using chulin. And at the point of sanctification, at that point, it immediately was processed as a korban, was slaughtered, and there was no takola that could arise. Ha nicha nidova de korbonus. This is a good explanation how by nedavos of sacrifices, there's no stumbling. There's no error can result, and hence kshemrim, people that are kosher, would make nedava type pledges. Nedava de nazirus my ikol of emar. In our Mishnah, we said that if a person says kinidvas kshemrim, he's binding himself also as a nazir. Well, how do you explain nazirus with regard to a person that's righteous and avoiding the stumbling, avoiding takolas? There's a Rashi across from here says Nedava de Nazirus Michael the Meimar Hechi Ovid de Lo Osi Lide Takola. How can a person behave himself with regard to Nazirus and not come to a takola, not come to any stumbling? As the Mishnah said, the Kotoni Nodav Benazir, the Mutter, the Ksheirim is Nadvin Benazirus. So we're looking for a description of a person who's kosher who would accept upon himself Nazirus. There's the Ran also explains thusly. You'll find the lower part of the narrow lines. Nedava Nazirus Michael Lameimar Klomar Hech Ksheir Misnad Nazirus Va Islehu Lamechash Dilma Osu Lide Takola. Even within the realm of Nazirus, isn't there what to worry about? Someone coming to, we'll say, to mess up, to stumble. Now, truth be told, we haven't seen neither in the Rashi nor in the Ran a description of what the stumbling would be. In the case of bringing sacrifices, we indicated the stumbling could be in the case of it could be Baal Ta'acher, the delay, it could be a misuse of the animal. What is the misuse, or what's the stumbling in the case of Nazirus? So, if I can go and offer my own interpretation, there are different aspects of Nazirus in which stumbling could arise. For example, Nazirus, the laws of Nazirus dictate no consumption of wine or vine products, wine, grapes, etc. He could stumble and violate that. We saw a discussion in one of the early Dapim of the Masechta that there could be an element of Baal Ta'achir even by Nazirus. And there's also the whole topic concerning the korbanos that a nazir has to bring at the conclusion of his nazirus period. So there is within the realm of nazirus, there is what to stumble on. So how do you explain that a kosher person would accept upon himself nazirus, and by definition that means there's not going to be any fear of stumbling, of messing up? So what is the explanation? What's the background to that? So the Gemara answers, Savar law kishimin hatzadik. Now you're going to see a Tanaic source. This Tanaic source is found in other Gemaras as well. However, before we get into the source itself, we take a look at the Ran. The Ran is toward the end of the narrow lines. At the beginning of the line, there's an abbreviated Hey Gimel Hochi Garsinon. Kishimin Hatzadik. Look at Sinan Sovar Law. Vachi Pirushop. The Ran suggests not to have in the Girsa that we do have the words Sovar Law. So according to the Ran, the reading of the Gemara is after reading Ma Ikola Meimar, you would continue reading by saying Kishimin Hatzadik. And now what we want to really focus on in the Ran, Vachi Pirushop. The Chol Shenodar Mitoch Inyan Zeh. Anyone who accepts Nazirus, as will be described in the upcoming story, Kolkach Kavonosu Ritzuya, the person's intentions are so pure, as we'll see in the story that we haven't read yet, the Lekol Mechash Lavo Lidei Takola. There isn't anything to worry about. When a person is so committed, he's so pure of intention, there isn't anything to worry about. He will be exceptionally diligent and, again, no takola to really worry about. Now we go to the Gemara. Desanya, Omar Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was a leading figure in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. He was an individual we associate often with the beginning of the Tanaic period. He was a person who was a remnant, from the end of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola period. And the historical placement of him adds a dimension of understanding, because we're dealing with cases of sacrifices and actual Beis HaMikdash experiences. So Shimon HaTzadik tells us, Miyomai lo ochalti oshom nozir tome elo echad. Says, I never ate from, and he was a Kohen as well, and a Kohen is entitled to eat from all kinds of sacrifices, including Kodshei Kodshim. So with the holy of holy type sacrifices, which non-Kohanim are prohibited from eating. However, Shimon HaTzadik says that I never ate from the guilt offering brought by a Nazir that became defiled, with the exception of one time. Pam achas bo odom echod nozir min adoro. He tells us a story of a person who was a nozir that came from the south. For isiv shu yifei naim v'tov roi, had a very nice looking person, and nice eyes, a handsome individual. Ukvusais of strus lo taltalim, and he had locks of hair. Omarti lo. Shimon HaTzadik tells us, I said to this guy, "Bini maroi silahashris esorcha ze hanoe." A nazir, upon the concluding his nazirus, he has to take a full shave. All of his hair is removed. So Shimon HaTzadik knows this very nice, handsome-looking individual with the locks and of hair. And he's asking, why would you want to cut off your hair, as is the practice of a nazir? Why would you want to cut off your attractive, your nice-looking hair? Omar Lee. So the man tells Shimon HaTzadik the story. Roye hoyisi la'abo be'iri. I was a shepherd for my father in my community, in my town. Halachti ma'asmayim min hamayon. I went to draw water from a spring. Vinistakalti bebevushali, and I noticed my reflection in the water. And upon seeing his reflection, he noticed that he is a very good-looking person. You see between the lines here that people had basically no use of mirrors. Men, at least, did not use mirrors, and the only time they would ever see themselves would be as a reflection in the water. And he noticed his reflection, Upochas olai yitzri, and my inclination, my evil inclination, got the better of me. Ubikesh l'todani min ha'olam, and wanted to cause me to sin, literally to cast me out of the world. Through sinning, a person is cast away from the lot of the righteous. A person who is, let's say, overcome by his good looks, that's an invitation to sin, you can assume, in the realm of immorality. Omarti lo. Now, this is the fellow speaking to himself. He said to himself, to his reflection, Rasha, loma tom esgab oilom she'eno shelcha. Wicked one, again, addressing himself, how is it that you're becoming so haughty and conceited in a world that's not yours? B'mei shehu osid lios rima v'toilea. Becoming so conceited regarding someone who is going to eventually turn into decomposition and worms. Ho'avoda shagalecha chol ha'shamayim. Ho'avoda is an expression meaning someone vows. He vows to shave off his hair with heavenly pure intentions. So in so many words, the idea of shaving off the hair is something associated with Nazirus. So this person was accepting upon himself Nazirus, as an antidote, as a countermeasure to his being overcome with this feeling of gaiva, of haughtiness and conceitedness. And he comes to the Beis HaMikdash. And now we should point out that this person who had really accepted upon himself Nazirus, in the course of his Nazirus, something happened, might have been beyond his control even. Someone died in his immediate vicinity, under the same roof, that would cause him to become Tomei. That is, in effect, a violation of the Nazirus. And he has to bring a korban osham, an osham, an ola, and a chatos. Those are three korbanos that the nozir tomei has to bring. Miad omadati neshakti va roshu shimna tzadik, says, I immediately arose and I kissed him on his head. Omarti lo bini, my son, kamocha yirbu nozirei nezirus b'Yisrael. Like you, with this, your initial acceptance of the Nazirus was with pure intent, as a means of combating the Yetzer Hara. So people like you should increase amongst the Jewish people, amongst the Nazirei Nazirus. People accept Nazirus. If anyone is going to accept Nazirus, it should be like you did. Alecha kasevoymer, regarding someone like you, the pasuk says, ish ki yafli lindor neder nazir lazir lashem. A person who takes upon himself a vow and nazirus for Hashem. That means with pure heavenly intentions. So we, just to tie things together, we were asking, what is an example of a nidova de nazirus? Namely, where a kosher person accepts nazirus. The example of that is this story. Maskiflo Rav Moni, my shno oshem nozir tomei delo ochal, delo de osi achet. At the beginning of this source, Shimon HaTzadik reported to us that he would not eat the guilt offering of a nozir tomei. So, which korban did he not eat from? So he seemed to specify the guilt offering of a nozir who violated the nazirus through tumah, through defilement. And why would Shimon HaTzadik not eat that? Because it's a sacrifice associated with sin. He didn't want to eat something whose root is in sin. Well, kol hashal masnami lo lechol dal chet asu. If that be the case, so all guilt offerings he should not have ever consumed, but he did. Because why should he not have ever consumed them? Because they too come because of sins. There's a number of sins that the Torah says that if one violates them, he has to bring a korban osham. Why then did Shimon HaTzadik specify the osham of a nazir tamei? So the Gemara says, we in raising the question, Rav Moni's raising the question, it was based on a faulty assumption. Omar le Rabbi Yoina, Hainu Taima. The reason Shimon HaTzadik avoided this korban specifically is as follows. Kishehen Toyin Noizrin. In general, when people, we said before, people that become irate, they become wrathful, they accept themselves, and in their wrath, all kinds of oaths and vows, and including Nazirus. That's Toyin, when they're in a state of being confounded. That's when they accept Nazirus. Ukshehen mitamin v'roven aleim yamei Nazirus mischartin bohen. And then when those very people that took Nazirus in a state of wrath, Nazirus basically is 30 days. Stam Nazirus is 30 days. And then when they become Tomei, they have to observe all of the Nazirus over again. They come to regret their ever having become Nazirim. And with regretting the becoming of a Nazir, it's practically that he's absolving himself from Nazirus. Now, we're saying practically, it's comparable. It's not literal, but it's as if he's absolving himself from the Nazirus, which is something, of course, you can't do. But again, this is by way of analogy. And then Vinimsu Mavian Chulin Lazar, then when he does bring the sacrifices that he's obligated to bring, it's like bringing Chulin Lazar, that's unsanctified animals, into the Beis HaMikdash, and that is prohibited to bring chulin to the Azara, to bring unsanctified animals and have them slaughtered in the Azara, and then your eating of them, that is sinful. So Shimon HaTzadik wanted to avoid the korbanos of an osham of a nazir tomei. Some of the points we made, you'll see right here in the Ran. The Ran, by the way, explains the word Tohim in a slightly different fashion than we said. The explanation we gave was, you can find in the Rashi, who says that when they get angry, they accept upon themselves Nazirus. So it's a Nazirus out of wrath, and not a Nazirus that's with pure heavenly motives. The Ran, you can see four lines from the bottom regarding the Chulin Bazora issue. Mavin Chulin Bazora Lav Dafka. It doesn't mean actual Chulin Bazora. She calls Man Shelo Hitirun Chacham Nazirus and Kayemes. We're saying Choyv Aleihem, that as long as a person didn't approach a sage to have the Nazirus reversed or annulled, the Nazirus is binding and the korbanos that he brings are obligatory. And look, Kain Chulin Ka'omar. It's as if it's Chulin Azorah Shemitoch She'en Kavados and Rutsuya, since his intent is not, he's not continuing with his Nazirus with pure intent, Af Korbanoseim Einon Rutsuya. So too, their Korbanos are not desirable. Avo Bahach Gavro Shebomin Adorom. And here, this is pretty much the main point. With regard to that fellow that came from the south in the story with Shimon HaTzadik, Lekolamechash Lohochi, all of this is not something to be of any concern. Shekevon Shoyse Kavrosu Kolkach Rutsuya B'tchila, since his initial acceptance of the Nazirus was so pure, Anan Sadi Shalom Nishar. We bear witness. We can vouch for this guy not ever coming to Charota, to regretting the Nazirus. Now, we go back to the Gemara where Rav Yonah explained, just to review what Rav Yonah had said, he says that the problem with the Osham Nazir Tomei is that when he sees that he has to observe the Nazirus all over again, he becomes confounded and he regrets the whole thing. And therefore the korbanos that he ends up bringing are like chulin lazor. And we pointed out chulin lazor, the mundane animal slaughtered and eaten, slaughtered in the azara, and then eaten is a sin. The Gemara asks, Ihachi afilu nozir tohor nami? As far as Shimon HaTzadik is concerned, he should have avoided eating korbanos of a nozir tohor as well. What's the problem there? So Rashi on the second line under the Gemara explains, Yochef filu nozir tohor de dilmo mischare dal nazirusso v'nimtza mevi chul nazora. If it's an issue of regret, and the regret is then associated with the korbanos that he brings as being viewed as chul nazora, if a person doesn't become Tomei, but he accepted Nazirus without having become Tomei, is there not a doubt or fear that he will regret having accepted Nazirus? And we don't see that Shimon HaTzadik avoided the korbanos of a Nazir Tor, of a Nazir that remained undefiled. The Gemara answers, there isn't anything to worry about in such a case. Nazir Tor, lo. There, you don't have to worry about charota in the case of a nazir tor. The amudi omid nafshe di yochol lindor. He calculated. Amudi means he made a calculation, a personal assessment, evaluation that he can handle a nazirus. And a basic nazirus is a 30-day period, and he and certainly if he finishes it successfully, that was a result of his initial calculation that it's something he can handle. So he won't and without becoming tamei. So the initial amount of nazirus is all that he has to observe. There's no repeating of his nazirus purity, an elongation of his nazirus period. Rashi, let's look at it together. Four lines from the bottom. Benozir tor lekul mechash demischore. In the case of someone who finished a nazirus without having become defiled, there is no concern of his coming to regret. Dekivan delo nitma velo ravu alav yemei tuma. Since he did not become tamei, and there was no increase, imposed increase of nazirus days. Vaday lo mischore. He's not going to come to any regrets. You'll say that even so, might he not come to regret having accepted the nazirus out of fear that he won't be able to finish it off? No, you don't have to worry about that kind of regret. Had he not made an initial evaluation of his abilities to endure the nazirus, lo have another. He wouldn't have made the nazirus vow to begin with. And as long as he does not become defiled, there is no element of regret that one has to worry about. We turn back to the Gemara. The Iboyasema. Now, because on the top of Yud Amalaf, as you can see now, we have a Roman numeral number 2 with a crown marking. We know what is happening in the Gemara. The Iboy Seima is a throwback to the issue of who is the Tana of the Mishnah. So, as you recall, in raising the question, the Gemara said it doesn't seem like it's Rebbe Meir nor Rebbe Yehuda. The first answer the Gemara gave was that our Mishnah could be like Rebbe Meir, and that which Rebbe Meir said to avoid vowing altogether, that's if the vow is in a neder form. However, if it's in a nedava form, it's okay. Even kosher people would bind themselves by a nedava. Maybe themselves is not an accurate expression, but they would utter a nedava. That's the designation of a specific animal to be a sacrifice. Here the Gemara says, "Afilu tame Reb Yehuda." Our Mishnah can go like Reb Yehuda. The fact that we saw in the source on Daf Tes Omen Aleph, Reb Yehuda is saying, "Toiv mizeh mizeh no deru mishalem," and our Mishnah seemed to say that no der is not. Not a good thing to do, and he seemed to be praising it. We can resolve the Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda. Ki Amar Rabbi Yehuda bin Adava. Rabbi Yehuda was praising what? Not a nether taker, not someone who makes nedarim, who utters nedarim, but rather someone who utters nedavos. Regarding that, Rabbi Yehuda said that the best thing is someone who is no dave umishalem. So, reading the Gemara, kikom Rabbi Yehuda benedava beneder lo omar. The Gemara asks, v'ha'katani, but looking at the language of the Mishnah, does it not say tov mizel mizet no dare umakayim? Notice we dash on the word no dare. That being no dare is praiseworthy. The Gemara answers, no, tani. No Dave Umekayim. It's interesting just to note, not that there's any significance, but the quote here uses the word Mekayim, which means to fulfill, and in the original Brisa you saw the word Mishalei, but they're one and the same. That means to pay, to fulfill the vow. So what we are saying here is that Rabbi Yehuda, when he was stating words of praise, that was regarding someone that would vow in the Nedava form. Let's look at the Ran at the top. Tani no Dave Umikayim. Rabbi Dorish Lehula Kroy, Krabi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, as far as his approach to the Psukim, would be like that of Rabbi Meir. The Toiv Mizeh Umizeh, Sheino no Der Koliker. That the best thing is not to state a nether whatsoever. Miu Baha Polig Oleg Rabbi Meir. However, with regarding the following point, there is a departure of Rabbi Yehuda from Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir crawled the Nokat. No Deir Hu Adin LeNodev. The Pasuk that spoke about a Nodeir is including a Nodev as well. Uledidei Dafka Nodeir. Avol Nodev Tov Mizeh Umizeh. The Rabbi Meir, in interpreting the Pasuk, would have concluded that the best thing is not to be Nodeir, nor to be Nodev either. However, when it comes to criticizing and associating with Rishus, only Nedarim are associated with the Rishoyim. Nedavos are not associated with the Rishoyim, because in the realm of Nedavos, there isn't any Takola to worry about. But on a practical level, Rabbi Meir would say, the best thing is not to be Noder, nor to be Nodev. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, with regard to Nodev, the best thing is, yes, to obligate yourself, accept a nedava, to make a nedava, and pay it up. We continue in the Gemara. Third line from the top, and this was similar to what we saw in the first, Roman numeral number one. Maishna Noder Delo. Why is Noder something that is not to be done? Dilma Osi Ba Lidei Takola. He can come to stumbling. As we indicated before, person who accepts a neder, he's inviting trouble. He might come to a problem of delay, of Baal Tachir. Well, Nedava Nami, Dilma Osi Ba Lidei Takola, with regard to a Nedava as well, could there not be a point of stumbling? And we indicated before that if you designate an animal as a sacrifice, you can end up misusing it. You can use it for you might end up shearing it or using it for work purposes, which would be a violation of its sanctity. The Gemara answers: Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei. Rabbi Yehuda, in praising nedavos, is an attitude that's consistent with another comment of his. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda says, "Adam mevi kivsos lazara." This is a comment that Rabbi Yehuda makes, which, by the way, is essentially the same thing that we saw before that we quoted in the name of Hillel. In our previous sukkah, we were explaining the Mishnah in Rabbi Meir terms. Apparently, Rabbi Meir himself had not addressed the topic on his own. But Rabbi Yehuda has addressed the topic on his own, so it's more convenient for us to say that once we're setting up the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah praises nedavos in the sense that anashim ksherim, righteous people would make nedavos, and there's no chashash takola. This is in line with Rabbi Yehuda's approach to how one brings sacrifices. Rabbi Yehuda himself, he says, a person brings his animal to the Azorah, and only at that point, moments before it's slaughtered, only then do you sanctify. Prior to that, it was chulin. It wasn't something that was prohibited anyway in shearing or using. Tenach nedava de karbonas, nedava de nezirus ma'ikol ameimar. We explained, as we saw earlier, that with regard to a takola by karbonas that were designated as nedavas, there is no takola to worry about, as we explained. What about a nedava of nezirus? Isn't there a takola possibility? There's a here you can see the Tosfos. He explains I think that you'll see very similar to what we suggested before on our own. At that point, I hadn't remembered this particular Tosfos. You see on the first of the widest lines in the Tosfos commentary, the extreme wide lines, the Nazirus Michael Amemar, Valo Miad, Shinoda, I'm reading from the Tosfos, immediately when he accepts Nazirus, Komle, Babal Yochal, Bal Yishte, he's forbidden in eating grapes, grape products, or drinking wine. V'iko chashosha l'takola shemiavor. There is now something to worry about that he might violate. Umishani kiahi deshimna tzadik. Another nazirus l'shem shemayim me'ava l'kachori le'nedava. And we explain like shimna tzadik that a person who takes upon himself nazirus with purely heavenly intentions, you don't have to worry about it. So now let's go back to the Gemara. Rebbe, regarding this question of Nedava of Nazirus, how do we explain that there's no Takala? Rebbe Yehuda Litame. Rebbe Yehuda, again, is consistent here with what he has said elsewhere. Let us glance at the Ran on the fourth line from the top of the Ran commentary regarding this phrase of Rabbi Yehuda Litame in explaining how is Nazirus done in such a way that we can call it a Nedava. So Rashi said, the Ran says, Rabbi Yehuda Litame Yomar Diksherin Misavin Lahavi Korbanos. We're going to see this shortly in the Gemara itself, under the name Rabbi Yehuda Neitanei source, that people that are tzaddikim have a desire to bring sacrifices, shelchova, obligatory sacrifices. Now, you can't voluntarily bring an obligatory sacrifice. It's a contradiction in terms. And let us say a sin offering. A person who didn't sin, and you can assume that a tzaddik wouldn't have sinned, and yet he wants to bring a korban that a sinner would bring. So, how could that possibly be done? Well, we'll see shortly that a sinner would bring a korban chatas. There is an example of someone who is, we'll say, a non-sinner that also brings a korban chatas, as is the case of a nazir. The kevon shel kavona zu heim oisin, and since they do so with such pure intentions, mikri nedava. We can call it nedava. It seems to me that the Ran's explanation isn't focusing on the issue so much of takola avoidance, but rather we explained how korbonus can be brought by Sherim in a nedava form, even though when it comes to sacrifices, korbonus, there's a takola problem. We explained how you can avoid takola altogether through the sanctification of it immediately before its offering. And as a result of the non-takola aspect of korbonus, ksherim will bring korbonus in a nedava form. What about nazirus? How is it that nazirus can be described as a nedava that a person that's kosher would accept it upon himself? So we're explaining that when one accepts nazirus with pure motivation, that is called nedava. In the previous sukya, we had mentioned that, based on, of course, the Meforshim, we had mentioned that if one has such pure intention, you don't have to worry about coming to Takola. But as I say, according to the Ran's interpretation, I'm not convinced that the Takola issue is what is preoccupying the Ran, but rather the classification of Nazirus as a Nedova, and hence something that that righteous people would do, that is all dependent on your purity of intention. So the Gemara continues. Desanya, we're saying Rabbi Yehuda, in saying that a kosher person would accept upon himself Nazirus, and we could be called a Nedova of Nazirus, is as you see in the following. Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Hasidim, Harishonim, the early pious ones, hayu mis'avin lahavi korban chatos, they had a desire to bring a sin offering. But a sin offering is brought only when one violates that kind of sin that requires such a korban to be brought. They were not sinning. Lefi she'ein other ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takol al yadehem. The Almighty doesn't bring a tzaddik to stumble, to mistakenly violate, let's say, eating chelev or eating dam. So they would never find themselves in a position where they would have to bring a korban chatas. So ma hoyu oisin, what would these chassidim rishonim do? They would accept upon themselves nizirus, which obligates the nazir at the conclusion of the nazirus period to bring, amongst other korbanos, a korban chatas, in addition to, of course, the shlomim and olah korban that he brings. So as the Ran said, Rabbi Yehuda, in suggesting that Nazirus is something that a person kosher would do, here it is. It's out of his great desire to bring a korban chatas. Rabbi Shimon Oimer lo nazir ben nazir. The Hasidim Rishonim would not accept upon themselves Nazirus. Ela roitzilavi oila misnadim v'mevi. Someone who would want to bring a korban ola, that is a type of korban that could be brought voluntarily. He would make a nedava, he would designate an animal as a korban ola and bring it. Shlomim, if a person had a desire to bring a korban shlomim, misnadev umevi. Toidav arbo amine luchlachma, misnadev umevi. A korban toda is a special type of korban that, along with it, there are 40 loaves brought, 10 loaves, 4 groups of 10 loaves, each loaf being a different type of baked good. That's 4 types of breads that accompany the korban torah. So he would voluntarily bring that. Alva benazirus lo hisnatvu. But as far as what Rabbi Yehuda suggested, Rabbi Shimon would say they would never make a nedava of nazirus. They wouldn't accept upon themselves nazirus, kedei shaliku chaitim, so that they should not be called sinners. Shinemar the posuk, and now note, this posuk is in the context of a nazir. It says, v'chiper alav me'asher chota lanefesh. And he brings his sacrifices for his having sinned. So someone who is considered a chassid from the chassidim rishonim would not enter into a realm of that kind of person or that kind of practice that's associated with sinfulness. Omar Abaye, he lists 3 names: Shimon HaTzadik, the Rebbe Shimon, the Rebbe Lozer HaKapor, Kulon Shito Achasein. All 3 of these Tanoim accept the same, we'll say, school of thought. Not that they say the same thing, but they're all in general agreement. The Nazir Chote Have, that a Nazir is a sinner. There's an element of sinning involved in the Nazir practice. It might be, for some people, necessary to become a nazir, but it's not viewed in a positive light, according to these Tanoim. Now, how do you know that? How do you know that that's their position? Well, Shimon HaTzadik, the Rebbe Shimon, Hod Amoron. We saw already before, Shimon HaTzadik had a rather, we'll say, circumspect attitude toward Nazirim. He said that he would avoid eating from the korbanos of a Nazir Tomei because of the fear that they might come to regret their entire Nazirus. And therefore the area of Nazirus in the eyes of Shimon HaTzadik is something to be avoided. And Rebbe Shimon, we just saw now that in this Tanaic source that he views them based on the pasuk that a nazir is a sinner. Rebbe Lozer HaKapor, Rebbe Desanyo, the 3rd opinion that Abaye mentioned, that of Rebbe Lozer, that he also holds that a nazir is considered a chote. The san yer blazer hakabur bibi oimer the chipra lov measher chota la nefesh. This is a pasuk that we just saw quoted before in the context of nazirus. The chibeiza nefesh chotazeh. The pasuk says that he brings his sacrifices in order to atone for himself. What sin did he do that he needs atonement? We're talking about the nazir. What sin did he do? Elo shetzir atzmo min hayayin. That's the sin, that through his nazirus vow he restricted himself from partaking of wine. Valo dvorim kal v'chomer. And now, with this in mind, we can then extend this through kal v'chomer logic. Uma ze shelotzir atzmo elo min hayayin nikra chote. Here you have someone that entered nazirus, which represents or poses to the individual a rather limited form of restriction. He can't drink wine. Can he drink a milkshake? Yes. Can he drink water? Yes. Can he drink a cola? Yes. He's restricted from wine, and yet for that, we'll say that rather limited restriction, he for having restricted himself from something that the Almighty allows people to partake of. If a person doesn't make a vow, the Almighty has an entire world of food and drink that he wants you to partake of. And if you restrict yourself from that, you're called sinning. Hametzah, now through the, what does the Kal v'chomer state? Hametzah atzmo mi kol dover alachas kama v'kama. Someone who restricts himself from all things, all the more so is he considered a sinner. Mikan kol yeshe b'tainis nikrochote. So Rebbe Lozer Kapra says, from here we see that people who observe fasting, they are considered sinners. The Gemara asks, V'hadein kra b'nazir tomeksiv. The pasuk above, V'chipra lov me'ashechot ala nefesh, that's not talking about Nazirim in general, Nazirus in general. Abaye got finished telling us that we have three opinions, and including which was Rebbe Shimon, that a nazir is a sinner. That pasuk doesn't refer to a simple nazir. That's referring to a nazir that actually sinned. Not his restricting himself, but because he became tomei. It's a sin. It's an absolute, it's an objective sin for a nazir to defile himself. But who says that from there you see in general that a nazir is considered a sinner? The Gemara answers, the reason that you see chote in the context of the nazir that defiled himself, mishum deshona b'chetu, he did a double sin. In other words, the defilement, yes, that's sinful, but that's what we call adding insult to injury. That's a sin on top of a sin. Even if the first nazirus, the initial nazirus, is considered a sin. As far as the appearance of chote in the case of the nazir tomei, so there it's all the more appropriate, but not to the exclusion of an initial nazirus vow. That too is considered a sin. Elaborate on that a bit, we take a look at the Rashi commentary. The Rashi that we're looking at is a little less than halfway down of the page. Mishum deshona b'chetu, de al shem shishona atzma b'chet. Because of his doubling, his repeating a sin, shenozer atzmo, he restricted himself. The old shetime nazirusso, he also defiled his nazirus by becoming defiled to the dead. That's why the Torah, when it wants to speak about sinfulness, it speaks about it by the nazir tomei. However, the truth is that other nazirim that did not defile themselves are also called sinners. The Goli Rachmana Bahai, the Torah reveals this aspect of sinfulness in the case of the Nazir Tamif, and the same applies to all Nazirim, even those that did not defile themselves. When you want to use the term sinning, which is a kalkola, it's a mess up, that we apply that to someone who's really messed up. But again, not to the exclusion of an initial Nazirus either. The Ran adds another detail to this. The Ran that we're looking at is about two-fifths of the way from the top. Mishum Deshona B'chet, number one, Shetzir Atzmo, number two, V'nitma. V'isura D'al Nefesh Kodorosh. The pasuk that we read was V'chiper Olof Me'asher Chota Al HaNefesh. That expression, Al HaNefesh, is otherwise an extraneous phrase. So it's there for us to darshan. The E Mechota Tuma Bilchud Ka'omar. If we're talking about someone who sinned and his sin is only the Tuma, Havile Lemichtav Me'asher Chota Vesulo. The pasuk should have stopped after the Me'asher Chota. Namely, it's true that in the context, the pasuk is in context of Nazir Tameh, it would have said, V'chiper Olav Me'asher Chota. The korban he brings is to atone for the sin of becoming defiled. and stop there. Al HaNefesh Lomali. What's the extra expression? So the extra expression is Shetzir Atzmo Nefesh is himself, that he restricted himself initially from partaking of things that otherwise are allowed. That itself is called a sinful act. Now, on a philosophical level, there's a lot more to talk about if it's viewed in such a negative light. So then, why does the Torah provide for such a thing called Nazirus in the first place? That is, we'll just say that's worthy of a discussion in and of itself. Maybe just as a food for thought, you can bear in mind that sometimes, as the Gemara in Sota explains, because of, we'll say, extenuating or extreme circumstances, say unfortunate circumstances, a person has to take evasive measures, we'll call contingency circumstances, in order to counteract a negative situation in which he finds himself. So he has to, he's compelled emotionally or spiritually to accept upon Nazirus. But it's all as a result of extenuating, we'll call sinful circumstances, that he has to observe this. But in an ideal situation, he shouldn't need to engage in Nazirus. And that's why on the one hand, the Torah does provide for Nazirus. On the other hand, it can still be considered within the general realm of sinfulness. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.